This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Oh, I'm so happy. Can I tell you why?
Go right ahead.
Oh, this is, it's the little things that make me happy. Greg, who knows everything here, and he runs everything here, and he's got like a complete understanding of all our technical capabilities. I've been on him for months about cleaning this desk. He's been busy. He's been doing real stuff, and I'm obsessed with things being clean. And the desk was clean this morning. I walked in. I saw a clean, and I mean the mixing desk, the desk which we control the whole.
I was going to say, what are the pens and pencils all lined up?
No, that I can do on my own. But this thing, he's cleaned it. It is so shiny. And
I wonder what he used, earbuds.
Man, it is so clean. It's fantastic. It's been used by filthy people. I mean, filthy people for the longest time.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, and now that we've got the studio back to ourselves, I suppose it'll be looked after. And it's just, it's got the shiny aluminium. All the little black switches and knobs are polished and shiny, and all the little buttons are clean, and you can read what's underneath them. And
it doesn't feel gritty.
It doesn't feel gritty. Not at all gritty. It looks pretty and shiny and
gay.
We didn't even rehearse that. And see, I got his part perfectly. Wow. How great is this? That's superb.
I saw him and Aus Jane on Friday. They had like three different products and wipes and cloths and you name it. So they made it happen.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And they didn't break it.
Cleanliness reminds me of bad eyesight. Sometimes you don't realize how bad it is up until it gets better. You know, people will go for years with horrible eyesight, and then they go for a checkup, get glasses, they're like, oh, actually, I couldn't read.
Well, I want people to realize, and I know it's a huge part of the employment of people, particularly unskilled, and I don't mean any criticism by that, but unskilled labor in this country is people who have helpers and domestic workers. You better be grateful, because let me tell you, your house would be disgusting if you didn't have someone in there to clean it, and you didn't have someone to look after your house. And we've discussed this a million times, but a domestic worker, a helper, these people make it possible for other people to go out and do stuff instead of them having to do the dishes and iron shirts. And let me tell you, that stuff is backbreaking and soul-destroying.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're paying your domestic worker or your helper, they probably deserve more.
Mm. Yeah,
God,
absolutely.
It's a horrible job. You know, I mean, it's not difficult as in it's going into a coal mine and risking your life. And most of it's kind of cushy. I mean, I know lots of domestic workers who really, they spend a lot of time watching TV and they're on the Wi-Fi. No, they do. They're on the Wi-Fi and they watch a bit of TV because they get their stuff done in their own time. You know, they've got like the whole day to do really what most people... Even if they're in a pinch, you've seen, like, your domestic worker can get shit done really quickly if they need to, right? But they spread it out over the day, so it's not, like, stressful or anything. But it must be kind of boring to do the same stuff over and over.
Oh, yeah, I think of that all the time. I think, shame. She's walking in, and she is starting in the same spot and ending in the same spot.
Yeah.
But we were speaking yesterday, Sarah and I, about... I have this, like, passive-aggressive thing. That if she's doing something that I don't like, I don't say it. I just fix it myself so she can see that it's been fixed.
Oh,
and
man.
It's dangerous. And I have to try and change it. But I just avoid confrontation at all costs.
I leave lists because that way everybody knows what is expected and I know what. And then afterwards we go through the list together and I said, did you do this one? And if there's anything that wasn't understood, then, you know, I explain. Because then I know. And that way... Nobody has to be passive aggressive with each other and misunderstand.
She
doesn't. You think by fixing it, you're making her feel bad. She doesn't feel bad. It's your fucking house.
No, I'm trying not to make her feel bad.
It's your house. She's not like, I should really have done that for poor Leanne.
No, I promise that it's the other way around. I just don't want to. I don't want to say the words to her and confront her and say I don't like this.
I get it. I get it because I'm similar in that way, and I'm going to avoid it, and I don't want to make it.
He has like
thing,
a running battle.
Horrible.
He has a running battle with his domestic worker.
Yeah, the most recent thing though that I didn't bring up yesterday that she does is I have a very particular way in which I fold my things, specifically my T-shirts. So I keep a lot of my T-shirts in these drawers of mine.
Yeah, I do like the Conmarie method with. Okay,
is that a Girl Scout thing?
Lost
what?
You both.
What?
I lost you both.
Is that a birth control method?
No.
Sounds like something you learned in the Scouts.
Tidying up?
Oh, that Marie Kondo.
Yes.
With the Netflix special.
Who?
Yes, Marie Kondo with the KonMari method.
Okay, she's
what? Called Tidying Up. It's a Japanese woman. If you know, you have to watch her. She's this she's delightful, creepy, tiny little Japanese woman with a soft voice who has been tidying up things all her life and knows exactly how to fold clothing.
Now, I am going to demonstrate how to fold clothes. The key point here is to...
I'm going
to
be... Now I've got... This is going to open up a rabbit hole.
Feel the piece of clothing with your hands and communicate your affection through your palms.
This is where she needs
to. It is very important to have this thought in mind while you fold your...
You know what I do? I have to give Japanese people credit for something. For a second, I know this is stereotypical. There are probably a few Japanese people who don't give a shit about this stuff. But what I've always had the world of respect for is how Japanese people treat everything ritually. They treat everything from waking up in the morning to bowing your head to the sun to tidying up your bedroom to
cooking.
Folding your clothes to making your bed to cooking to the way you greet people to the way you do business.
Agriculture.
My God, the world would be better if we were all just Japanese. I'm serious.
You know
that's
what?
That's the lesson for the day.
I'm turning Japanese.
You're starting to look... I was going to say.
I really think so.
Yeah. Good for you. You're evolving.
After watching a lot of Marie Kondo, you can be Japanese.
But that's explored even further, where when you're trying to get part with things that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
You say thank you to the item before you give it away to charity or do whatever you need to do with it.
I don't know. That's
you
where she loses me.
You pick up an item and you say, does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, it goes.
Wow.
So anyway, I have my cupboards organized like this, but now to try and teach my domestic worker this crazy-ass way of thinking, she'll be like, what?
Get her on the Wi-Fi and show her Marie Kondo. You never know. Maybe it'll spark joy.
Oh, yeah. It could change her life.
But seriously, like, if we could all take joy and pride and a respect for objects and for the world around us the way that this woman does, don't you think the world would improve for you? I mean, we often go back to old Jordan Peterson and his first rule, which is tidy up your room, right? Or I think that's one of the rules. I don't know which one it is. But he says, just first, before you try to solve the world and the world's problems, tidy your own room. If your house is not in order, if your own space is not tidy, if you can't make your own bed, or you can't clean your own shoes, I'm not saying you have to, but if you can't, you can't even start with the rest of the world. The fact that you might outsource those things later on because you've got other things to do. Like, I don't want to wake up in the morning at 4:30, get out of bed and have to make my bed at 4:30. So I have someone who's going to do that for me. But they've been away for the last 3-4 weeks anyway, right?
Don't you feel their voice?
You're going to hug her when she comes back.
This is why I'm bringing it up, right? I'm bringing it up because they're not there at the moment. And it's been a couple of weeks of hell.
And to think that everywhere else in the world people are doing it themselves. It's not often that you have
That's why I haven't brought it up. For, 4 weeks now? I haven't said a thing. She's got on with it. But it means when I get home in the evenings, then I have to do all the tidying up. And I've been going around a vacuum cleaner. I've been going around with, a cloth and cleaning tables and dusting surfaces. And you know what I'm like. I'm very fastidious about this thing. So I take it super, super seriously. And there's no one else who lives with me. It's just me. So no one else sees. I'm not doing this for other people. I'm not doing this to keep up appearances. This is me. I cannot go to sleep at night if there is a mess around me. So I'm changing linen. I'm doing washing. The only thing I can't do is ironing because I will fuck shit up.
I just I sometimes iron the sheets once they're on the bed.
Whoa!
That's the only way I can get around ironing a fitted sheet.
Yeah.
But
listen to us being all domestic.
No, I'm keeping quiet because I am the worst.
There's actually a lot of my clothing that doesn't need to be ironed.
Mm.
And I've noticed that she's ironing them anyway. That's a waste of time.
So
and
it's
it
like
thins
what
the fabric. Like this top I'm wearing now. It dries perfectly.
Anne is wearing a black long
my OOTD, my outfit of the day.
Oh, look at you, Instagram influencer. Making sure you have the right hashtag. Now, I realize how spoiled and privileged I am. Grew up with a helper for many, many years. And then after moving out of home, was able to get a helper as well. So it's ridiculous. I know some people might deem
it
so.
It's not ridiculous.
But I just can't
do anything.
First
of all,
I don't enjoy
this sector in South Africa provides tons of employment. I think it's the second biggest sector after mining in the country. It's informal because everybody has their own arrangement with their own domestic
it
worker.
It shouldn't be. We should have a contract.
Yeah, most people do.
Mm.
You have to now, according to the law. Yeah. But a lot of people don't follow that, right? And someone will come knocking on your door and say, hey, listen, I'll come around three times a week and I'll do your washing. And you're like, thank you. So you pay them what they want, or they say to you, I want this much. And you say, look, I can only afford this much. You come to an arrangement. It's voluntary. There's no slavery going on here. Someone says, I want to. Someone says, I'll pay. Blah, 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 everybody's happy. And if they aren't, then someone leaves. And this happens all the time. Second biggest employment thing in the world. It's nothing to be ashamed of to be a domestic worker. It's very honorable employment.
Mm.
It's not filthy. People trust you implicitly. Don't ever for a second believe that someone is going to leave their house in the hands of someone they don't trust. That trust can be betrayed by both sides at any time.
Mm.
But this is a serious relationship. I have friends I wouldn't let house sit my house.
Yeah.
Right?
This is true.
And this is what gets done for me every day. So there's nothing dishonorable about it. And don't talk like I understand privilege has become this dirty word. But if you have to be here, Sia,
yeah,
and I expect you to be here, and you don't have time to do the dishes and vacuum the floors and make your own bed and all that stuff, because you have to be here, then you can take some of the money I give you and give it to someone else to do that.
But
stuff.
More than that, I know
that's
I could.
It's just economics.
I know I could because my place is nice and small. You know, I could manage it, but I just don't enjoy it.
And also, there's some
Thrill in cleaning for me.
You don't. I don't enjoy it when I have to do it, but I love nothing more than doing the extra stuff. Like I look, and this whole thing, I'm sorry I brought this up. It all came about because of this desk, and Gugu's falling asleep. He's so bored by this.
I am. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, dude. You don't care about any of this, right?
I don't.
Come and look at this desk. Just come in here.
No, I saw it.
Come and look. Inspect it. See the job.
Like,
I'm going to take a picture of this guy and put it on Instagram.
I can see the buttons and what they mean.
So over it.
Mm. I love this. So clean.
Oh, yeah, actually.
So tell me, guys. Are you making your bed before you jump in it at night?
Yes. I can't get into a bed that's messy.
I used to do that for years because I didn't see the sense in making the bed.
It doesn't make any
morning,
sense.
You know what I mean?
But you know what it is? It's like a self-respect thing. It's like I won't put on the same pair of underpants 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
It's just, you could. No one's going to know. It's just gross.
No.
And it's like people who go to sleep without brushing their teeth or they wake up in the morning without brushing their teeth. You just slowly let yourself go because these rituals, these habits, look at the Japanese again to go back to... They live longer than the rest of us, by and large.
Mm.
They look healthier than most of us, by and large.
They seem more peaceful than
they seem. Yeah, well, except for World War II.
Yeah, except
besides that,
that
yeah. There was that. And World War I. Okay, all right, so they weren't always peaceful. But there's something there, that, like, there's something beautiful and restful and sensible about being at peace and at one with the world and with objects and with... It just seems to me reverent. These rituals help. Humans need ritual. It's what we... Our most important things in life are surrounded by ritual. Whatever your culture is.
That you have to be at work at a certain time.
But no, I'm talking about the big things in life. Birth, marriage, death, divorce. All of these are attended by rituals. We do things around them which seem, if you were an alien and you landed here, you wouldn't understand a christening or lobola or a funeral. You wouldn't understand this stuff. It looks ridiculous, right? But these things are massively important for humans. Ritual imbues things with meaning for us. And therefore, making my bed is a ritual of me going, you know what? I respect the day enough, I respect the night enough, to separate them by a little ritual where I make the bed so that I'm getting into it and getting out of it like a person who respects himself. It's weird, but it's, if I break it down, that's the only explanation I can come up with. Same way as yesterday, I was walking out of the gym and I saw a packet of chips lying there. Well, it was empty, but there was a, like the packet was floating around. It was being blown around by the wind. And I just thought, I've got to pick this up. It's not my packet, but it's there. And if I leave it, I'm contributing to the mess. And I'm not helping the situation. And the little ritual of picking up the paper, finding a rubbish bin, and throwing it away, I emerge from that better than I left. It's the weirdest thing. If I just left it,
think it's weird.
Like
I think
if
it's
you just leave the thing to float around in the air and you think, ah, not my problem, someone will pick that up. It's just, you're basically saying, I have so little self-respect that I'm prepared to walk past that piece of paper because I'm trash as well. And so many people in this country feel that way about themselves, which is why they live in squalor. People live in absolute squalor and filth because they don't have any self-respect. For various reasons. It could be historical. It could be because of poverty. Although I've met poor people who have loads of self-respect. And
yeah,
keep their
poverty's not an excuse for uncleanliness.
They keep what they've got tidy. They educate their children. They dress smartly. You know, there's a huge difference between poverty and self-respect. And the two are not always overlapping. And sometimes they're not always separate. It's just incredible. Like, a little thing like that makes me feel better. No one else saw it. I wasn't doing it for virtue points. I wasn't like going, oh, this is great. The only reason I bring it up this morning is because we're talking about this shit. But it makes me feel better. So it's tiny things that make the day work. If you don't do those tiny things, the big things don't happen. Everybody's always looking for the big things. Oh, I'm going to make a 1 million rand deal this week. Or I'm going to get that job I've always wanted. Or I'm going to buy something I've really loved for the longest time. To get to those things, you need to first develop the self-respect that you deserve little things.
True.
And then the little things build up to big things. That's why I only heard about this Marie Kondo woman from you now, but I love it. I'm not going to watch this woman all goddamn day. You've started a thing.
It's too much for me. Do you watch the entire series, Leanne?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
I started watching it before it was even, before she made a show of it. She just had YouTube videos. I've been following it for yonks.
Okay. Rather you than me, then.
I'm glad you told me about her. This is improving my life, like this clean desk in front of me. Listening to Friday's podcast with Flax, wow, he grew up hard in 2 years, made me think how Leanne is also a lot more grown up since she returned from Cape Town and Hotel California. to the Hotel California, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I literally cannot wait to see what Mabale brings. Well, I spoke to her just the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She says she'll come and visit us in August. And she has been promising for the longest time, but she's made a solemn one this time, and I know she'll come. So she could have gone, according to this message, full BDSM, or is she a Volvo-driving soccer mom? That's from Robin. Well,
yeah,
Robin.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell with Mav.
Yeah.
She could have swung anyway.
What happened to the second hour of today's show? I want to cry now. Mike from Durban. This is yesterday. Well, we've replayed the pure conversation from... Because I wasn't here yesterday, so very clever move by Sia and Leanne. They decided to play Pure Conversations, so I hope that went down well. Gareth and co, get one of those plastic folding items for not ironing.
Oh, yes.
What is
so
that like?
If you can imagine, you know those children's mats in nurseries? They interlock.
Yes.
Like squares. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5 squares that are... join together like that.
Yeah.
And they swing. They swing open and shut. And you put that down, flat and open. You put your shirt on top of that.
Yeah.
And you just go, shut the one, shut the other, pull it out, and your shirt's folded.
What?
Oh. Yes.
Oh, I need one of
those. I can't believe you guys
don't
know about this stuff.
That is so nifty.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Ah, that's
that,
great.
You know that there are actually ironing machines now that you can have in your house. Look, I don't know about in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But you throw in the shirt at the one end, and it irons it and puts it on a hanger.
Oh,
pops out in
wow.
front of you.
Bless.
That sounds so great.
Absolutely.
All right, here's Sifred, who said, I grew up in South Africa with a helper that used to come on once a week and clean while we were away. I now live in Texas, and I had to learn to do all of the daily chores for a family of four. I would gladly pay $500 for my Nosipo to come and help me four times a month. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It's the little things, I'm telling you.
But there is unemployment in America.
And if there are kids involved in your family of four, I can just imagine how there's stickiness that you find in the most random places, Askies.
This is from Simply Uli, who says, the Japanese really are an example to all of us. Remember last year with the FIFA World Cup when they cleaned up the stadium and the players cleaned the locker rooms before leaving the building? Wow, that's just amazing. Yeah. All right, okay, enough about this clean thing. I'm going to bore people. It's just my favorite thing. When I'm stressed or when I'm happy, I tidy up and clean.
Yeah, I do love digging into a cupboard that needs attention. And then I leave it open so I can walk past it all the time. And, just
and that makes you happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm
with everything's facing all the right way.
Let me just open up this proposition. Y'all, Gareth, I've said this to you once before. If you guys are just having a bad day, if you want to feel better about yourself, if you want to be productive, come to my house.
No, but you see, that's not the point.
Come to my house.
Because it doesn't
There's
give me
shelf.
I don't want to clean up other people's mess.
To make up.
I don't want to do that. Doesn't give me the same joy.
You know how some people have one random drawer
of but you
bits
just throw
and bobs? I have a whole cupboard, so you guys can go and sort that out.
My parents actually have a drawer, and inside is an ice cream tub with the label on it called Bits and Bobs.
Yes.
Really? Wow.
And that kind of gives you the confidence and the sanity to be able to say, I'm just putting everything in here. That's where it belongs.
All right, so what did I miss yesterday? Anything fun?
We discussed a bit of news. Anthea came in as well.
What's happening news-wise? I must be honest with you, I didn't pay any attention this weekend to the news.
There's a lot of stuff that just doesn't interest me at the moment. All the ANC and EFF stuff.
Yeah, I'm bored with that too.
Yeah,
the EFF want to reveal 40 more members of the ANC who were all working to get President Zuma out of office. And so they say, no, we have a list of all of those people, and we're going to release it soon. This is what they announced at their 6th birthday.
You know, it's like when President Zuma says, I'm going to reveal all the names of all the people who were spies and who collaborated with the apartheid government and who have skeletons in their closet. Go just do it, man. Mm. Stop teasing us. Give us the names. And then we can get on with the process of getting rid of all the bad people, including you, you son of a bitch.
They were busy popping bottles and having fun over the weekend celebrations.
I bet you they were. I saw Marianne Tam last week, who's the journalist who went and, you know, she found all the rubbish outside the EFF when they stayed in Cape Town for the opening of Parliament.
Mm.
And she went through it and counted the bottles of Moët Champagne and Johnny Walker Blue and all the fancy liquor that they drank, and then calculated what the EFF and their lifestyles are like in the EFF's top six, and embarrassed them because they pretend to be socialists and they pretend to be people of the people.
And people of the land.
But they're not. They're elitist shitheads, just like all other politicians who think they're our masters when they're our servants. You know?
So did you get to speak to her last week?
Yeah, I said to her, listen, because she got threatened, obviously. She got threatened with terrible things. It's amazing when a woman journalist says something. There are certain people in society who really, their misogyny comes out. They say things like, we're going to rape you, and terrible things are going to happen, we're going to do this to your genitals. It's like this very angry male misogyny comes out in these people. And they're the same ones, by the way, who stand up on International Women's Day or in Women's Month or for the 16 days of activism and go, women, respect, same people. Anyway, she was threatened, and I said to her, listen, be brave. These guys are actually a bunch of losers.
I'm sure she appreciated that.
Well, I don't know. What do I help? So, Gugu, what's going on with you?
Dude, I don't know. I'm alive. Breathing.
Well, that's a...
What the eeyore is going on with you this morning?
Are you depressed?
Look, I was just looking at the running order here at CSN, and I see there's something about mental health.
Yes.
Yeah, and it put me into a slump because we recorded a pilot last week with Pinky, mm-hmm. one of the people that work here.
Is this a depression one?
Yeah, and yeah. I was in charge of the desk and facilitating this whole thing. And I went through depression, I think, early in the year. Mm-hmm. And I went out of it, you know, I survived, you know, came out. But being in that room and listening to all those stories of depression, I just went right back into it. So reading this running order just now,
Okay, but wouldn't you like to understand this stuff rather than avoid it? Because it sounds to me like you just want to put your head in the sand and pretend it's not an issue, not just for you, but for everybody. You know, it's the biggest problem in this country.
Well, I realized that when I went through it, yeah. I don't think you know what it is and what it's like until you actually go through depression. You think people are nuts?
You do. You think people are nuts until it happens to you. It's like anything.
Yeah.
You don't have any sympathy for anyone until it happens to you. But
there
are so many people who are suffering quietly. They get through mm-hmm. their day just. And they are miserable inside and they don't know why. It's chemical sometimes, it's circumstantial.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, it's not always circumstantial, and in fact it's more chemical than anything else.
So you got to understand these things, and we take mental health very seriously on this show, because frankly I think we're all borderline crazy, and
well,
I don't mean that in a good way.
I get locked away once a year. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Leanne actually gets put in a funny farm like once a year.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad, Gugu. You're in good company. Don't let it... I'm sorry to depress you.
Thanks, Gareth.
All right. Very good. So loads of stuff to get to. Let's talk about the five things you need to know today. Let's start off with... You said you're not interested in them, but here we go. The ANC camp for members to include military training. Oh, God. You know, I see this... I see the ANC released their land report. And I see them campaigning for this NHI, the National Health Insurance. And I think this is the same group of fucking idiots who can't run Eskom, SAA, Transnet, the whole public works department. They can't run anything properly, and they've got big ambitions to fuck up even more. They're looking for new things to screw up.
Imagine that was your ambition.
I'm blown away, right? That the ANC Youth League in Greater Johannesburg said it was preparing for a weekend camp, listen to this, where members would take part in military training and gun handling, among other activities. Have you seen those marching videos of the North Koreans?
Yes.
Wow. Blow your mind. Mm. Have you seen the marching videos of Umkhonto weSizwe?
Yes.
Exactly.
Another nod at the Asians this morning.
Right. So the league said that the camp would take place in August and would be expanded to include members from other parts of Gauteng. ANC Youth League's Becky Nkota spoke to 702, explaining why its members would receive training. When you're in an organization, you've got your own training, and I believe that's part of the training. We need to understand what happens in the military. Well, I mean, anything to put it... You know what the military is all about is discipline. If you can put a bit of discipline into the ANC Youth League, you might be doing something good, because at the moment it's just embarrassing. Everything about it is embarrassing. So let's see how that goes for you guys. HIV prevalence is showing a steady decline in South Africa. This is good news.
Mm.
Overall, HIV prevalence has been dropping. This is according to the Statistician General, Rusega Maluleke, who said that the mid-year population estimates for 2019 on Monday were as follows. The overall prevalence rate is approximately 13.5% among the South African population. That's still a lot of people, huh?
Mm, it is.
Is that one and a half out of every 10 people you know?
That's
a lot of HIV. Still got to watch it. There's plenty going on. So there are four of us in here now.
Mm-hmm.
If we added another six people, one of them would definitely have AIDS.
Well, the rest of everyone who works here, yeah. Mm. So that would be...
Yeah, that's right. So, Maluleke said for adults between 15 and 49 years, an estimated 19% of the population is positive. So that means, okay, so a lot more. It's 20% then. 19.07. 20%, call it. It's two in every 100. Sorry, 20 out of every 100. 2 out of every 10.
Yeah. Okay.
My maths is well, so bad. No,
sorry. Yeah. So 2 out of every 10, 20 out of every 100.
Yeah.
That's roughly what we're looking at.
And our population has increased, which also signals the fact that we're not all dying from AIDS.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the prevalence of AZT and other things that have helped people to live longer with HIV just shows that there are ways to deal with this disease now that weren't available 10, 20 years ago. All right. more than 1,000 residents in Masipumelele were still reeling, rather, after a fire destroyed their homes in the early hours of Monday morning. This is an ongoing ugly story in South Africa. You got these shacks that are built in informal settlements. They're built right next to each other. If a fire starts in one, it's going to consume all of them. Mm-hmm. And this is precisely what happens. And then people die because there are people left in the shacks. There are kids sleeping in the shacks. They suffocate from the smoke. There's no time to get them out. People don't know where they are. It's just chaos. During the mop-up operations, by the way, this affected 1,200 people. Officials found a body under a sheet of corrugated iron. Mm. The victim had sustained extensive burn wounds. A look of disbelief and sadness was etched on the face of Eugenia Siwela, one of the hundreds of Masipumelele residents who've lost everything. Siwela said this is the third time that she's lost her home in a big fire. Now,
imagine.
Okay, but if you've lost your home for the third time in a row, that's not a great place for a home. I mean, I don't want to be unsympathetic here, but if my house burnt down 3 times, I'm fucking moving. Clearly, it's not the right place for me to live. And I know she probably doesn't have a lot of choices.
No, that's the thing.
But man, I mean, how many, you know, fool me once. What do they say? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yes.
Mm. 3 times?
Well, look, there are people who live in the exact same spot as where their homes have been destroyed by earthquakes, hurricanes, mudslides.
That's my point. Get away from those places because they're coming again. Ay, ay, ay.
I'm just thinking about the admin of having to rebuild. My goodness.
Exactly. And she goes, I woke up, went outside and saw the fire coming to our home. I called the neighbors. They were fast asleep, so we ran because the fire was big and it was coming towards us. We didn't have a chance to take our things. Several police officers were in the area at the remnants of a structure where the burnt body was found. The city of Cape Town is providing emergency shelter in the community hall in the Methodist Church. The wind, obviously, is a part of this. But really, you know, we hear this over and over again. People's houses burning down, and because they don't have space between them, there's no fire break. You know, flames will carry on burning where they can find fuel. And if there's a shack next to a shack next to a shack, guess what? All three of those shacks are going down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 1,000 plus people.
Yeah.
You know, that is probably my worst fear, and it might be irrational, but that is probably my worst fear. No, just my house burning down, because I have so many sentimental things, and I've said this before, I am a little paranoid, but in our family house in Durban, I actually have a labeled box with all of my most precious items that, heaven forbid, something were to happen in the house, but my parents know, like, just save that box.
Because my parents aren't sentimental. I do too, and it's called the Leanne Archives.
Right.
Really?
And I think those are things, you know, things aren't shared, and you can always replace items, but you can't replace, like, your grade one certificate. And I think that's
really, you keep that stuff?
I have it all. I still have my christening outfit. I have my original birth certificate. I have my baptism certificate.
I have my inoculation certificate.
Oh, my God. Yes. You two need to do a clean up.
I have this first...
Google, you have any of this shit lying around?
I've got F4. Yeah. Thing is, I think these two are the worst kinds of people to date. Because I dated someone, Sia knows her, and she was so paranoid about shit burning down to the point where we would leave, and she'd ask me to go back home to make sure the plug is switched off.
The opposite of an arsonist.
My heart is actually pounding at the thought that you two are so lax with this. Like, what?
No, I'm not lax, but I'm also not paranoid. Like, there's some healthy... We talk about mental health. You've got to be somewhere in between.
Yeah, you do have to.
All right, final two stories. The video sharing platform YouTube is striving to block those who would use it to promote racism, hate speech, violence, and disinformation. Its number two executive told AFP as the Google-owned company comes under increasing scrutiny. YouTube has now grown into a big city. More bad actors have come into place. And just like any big city, you need to have a set of rules and laws and some kind of regulatory regime, Chief Product Officer Neil Moen told in an interview. Rising public pressure on YouTube and other social media platforms has prodded them to try and limit the negative aspects, lest government clamp down with more stringent regulation. The problem is, someone in YouTube who makes these decisions is just like someone who's saying racism's cool. They have opinions. Their opinions might be that Leanne promoting that woman who folds the clothes is racist because some people don't like to fold their clothes. And then suddenly Leanne gets banned. You got to be... Who's applying... Sense. I hate this because this is essentially censorship.
Yeah.
And we've dealt with this as human beings for thousands of years. Who's the censor? Who do you trust in your immediate workplace to be your censor? I don't trust anyone. There's no one I would appoint to be my censor. No one. I want to read what I want to read. I want to say what I want to say, and let me be responsible for those things.
Do you think that's the best solution?
It's the only way. Who can we appoint? What superhuman creature can we appoint to be a perfect censor? There isn't any such thing. So what any censor is going to bring with them is prejudice. They might be prejudiced in this way, or they might be prejudiced in that way. They might decide that everything that Donald Trump says is racist, and he's suddenly banned.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't know what the President of the United States thinks, because someone's trying to protect us from him. Now, I do not like bigotry and racism and homophobia and all of that stuff. I don't like any of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't listen to it, and if we don't hear it anywhere, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because someone's gone and banned it from us, stopped us from our precious souls from being infested with evil, ugly racism, doesn't mean that those racists are going to suddenly stop. And wouldn't you rather know where they are and who they are? What are you, a child that you need to be guarded from this stuff? Parents telling you, no, nothing bad will ever happen to you. We'll make sure your environment is sanitized. It's a safe space. No nasty people will ever say nasty things. Well, you're going to walk out on the street and guess what? You're going to encounter some of these nasty people. And then what? You're going to break down in tears because YouTube hasn't been running beside you to protect you from them? What are you?
I don't know. Maybe there are milder alternatives.
Well, there should be. And what they should be is like peer review. But just by banning someone who you disagree with or who says something mean or is a blatant racist on YouTube, by banning them, does that mean they go away? What have you really done?
They're off your timeline.
But where have they gone? To much more dangerous, much more dark places where they can fester and become worse. Why do people think that out of sight means out of mind?
Oh, it's the simple, basic rule of just ignorance. But that's why ignorance is bliss. Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. And you think that because you don't know about the mafia, that the mafia aren't working on your block? You can't hide things like this. You think bad people just disappear if you ban them from your social media? They don't. They're out there, man. And when they eventually do come back into your world, it's going to hurt.
But I just want to wake up in the morning and listen to Baby Shark without hearing that some person is spitting venom. Is that too much to ask?
Whose responsibility is that?
Yours.
Okay. So what you do is you go onto YouTube and you decide who's going to be the censor for you. You.
Okay.
You know, some other dude in...
Good point, well put.
Google's headquarters is going to decide for me? I don't want it to have some other dude decide for me. I'll go and choose my own content. Thank you very much, YouTube. Or else someone will start something better than YouTube. And then you'll lose market share.
Or own content and choose your own comments.
See what happens. All right, finally... medical researchers are one step close to unlocking the hidden secrets of our population's genetic makeup.
Ooh.
In a first for the continent, the South African Medical Research Council has launched its state-of-the-art genomics center, which is situated at the facility's Belleville campus on Monday. Individual genome sequencing enables scientists to better understand how a particular patient's genes relate to illness. Experts say patients will benefit from the initiative, as more effective medication geared towards the population's gene pool could now be developed. Because you see, if you know the genes, you know how to switch certain genes on and switch certain genes off. Then you can treat certain diseases.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never fancied myself having children, but I think by the time I might give in to that idea in like 30 years' time, I'll be able to modify my own child.
Yes, to make it perfect.
Oh, yes.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I don't even feel bad about it. I don't think it's ethical conversation.
Yeah, I don't know so much. Like, you know, that's for me, that's a problem because of my attitude towards dogs that are bred versus walking into the SPCA and saying, which animal is going to be put down next? I'll take it.
Well, look, it shouldn't be different if I was to have a child naturally. I'm still adding another life to the world. I might as well add a life that, you know, has the sunroof that I want or the leather seats that I want.
If you're a good person, you adopt. Really, if you're a good person and you want to help the world and you want to be useful and you want to do your bit,
hey,
adopt.
I'm doing my bit, but then, you know, in this sense, best believe I'm getting like a LeBron James height.
Oh, yeah, you're going to breed some fantastic child.
Straight teeth. Big, full lips, though. Yeah.
See, it sounds like you're breeding a husband, not a child.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Don't sexualize it.
Well, you brought this up. Morning, what happened to yesterday's 7 a.m. podcast? All right, I'm telling you.
With peace and love.
I wasn't here yesterday, so they decided they would replay Pure Conversation. So there was no part two on Monday. Mm-hmm. So apologies for that. Someone asking, Justice left, but the burning platform didn't leave. Why did sport leave with Ben? Because none of us can do sport. We're all shit at it. That's from Morgan. Pietrus says, have a new documentary for you to watch called The Great Hack on Netflix. They explore how a company called Cambridge Analytica used data from millions of people to do target campaigning. Then one person takes them to court to make them expose what they do. It's a must-watch.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people on my timeline over the weekend speaking about this, and it's interesting. It also ties into what Anthea was discussing yesterday on the Money Shot with Facebook having to pay $5 billion US dollars around their data invasion. And the question Anthea brought up was, how much can we actually value this? What if $5 billion is too small?
Yeah.
$5 billion is too much. How much is your data worth, actually?
Well, Leanne said on Friday, and everybody thought it was hilarious, but she doesn't care. Like, take her information. She's not interested. As long as you're not stealing her identity, you can have all of her clicks and all of her Google searches and find out what products she's buying online. She doesn't give a shit. She's got nothing to be ashamed of.
I feel like it's already
of.
Been done anyway. Just through browsing and being shouted at with ads because I looked something up. You know, it's quite interesting. One of my clients is in the world of motorsport, which is not something that I would generally search on my laptop. But because I have been, I'm not kidding.
You're inundated.
Go-karting,
right?
Formula One. They've already got my information. You know.
Yeah, maybe you just shouldn't be precious about it. Then they say that you can. If you ask someone 5 questions, you can figure out who they'd vote for in an election.
Is this like face-to-face?
If you can ask people any 5 questions, there are 5 questions you could ask that would immediately tip you off as to which way they would vote in an election. In India, in South Africa, in America, wherever. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You could probably mine that information fairly carefully if you're Facebook. And figure out who's... You know, voting this way, who's voting that way, how people feel.
I mean, on Facebook, you may have already declared your political alignment already.
Someone says, Sia, this is a big story for you. Mm-hmm. Sia's superficial ethics scare the shit out of me.
No.
That's from Keith.
Look, I'm really not serious about having children.
Oh, really?
I'm not serious about having children, but if I were to have... children. Best believe. No, I don't think it's being superficial at all. It's just making the most of the moment. And actually, that would mean I'd love the child more.
All right. You say so. You've scared the shit out of Keith. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about mental health later on. I know it's an ongoing thing on this show, but it's because we've decided we're taking it seriously, even if other people are not. It actually came up in a discussion I had with someone on Saturday night, just about how this is the real problem in South Africa. We have tons of people who are affected by all kinds of real-world problems, and a lot of those are practical problems that could be solved if we had a government that wasn't a failure. But the fact is, people don't have jobs, they don't have purpose, they don't have families, they don't find meaning in existence. They've got very, very dangerous predilections towards abuse, violence. This is an ugly way to live, and it's not helping people to have good mental health. In the process, they could be born with a chemical predisposition to mental disease, and then this only makes it worse. Remember, in a lot of communities, particularly black men, it's no good to admit that you have a mental illness. You are considered weak, or you're considered a problem. No one wants to help you. They stay away from you. Instead of us dealing with this stuff, we almost make it worse. And this is why we talk about it on the show. So we're going to be joined by Dr. Gwen Tonyane, who's a psychiatrist, and she's going to answer a couple of questions about biological psychiatry and schizophrenia and anxiety and bipolar illness and a whole bunch of these things, which I don't know enough about. You probably don't. If you do, why haven't you called us to tell us?
Yes. You know, we have alluded to it before on the show that sometimes, because we don't know a lot, our annoyance comes from the fact that, you know, it's not that you easily spot someone with mental health, or it's not, you know, some people can't even differentiate between a bad day or bad week and having some sort of illness.
Yeah, real problem.
Yeah, but I think we are healthily and steadily moving towards a good type of tipping point, because I think the bigger issue around mental health is a lot of people can't even recognize when they need to have help. Even before being diagnosed, because society says, you know, yeah, you're fine and move on and it's nothing. And
yeah, but you're talking like there is help available. I mean, most people don't even know that they could get help. Who are they going to talk to about this stuff? They don't have family who would know how to deal with it. It's not like we've got social workers running around.
And it's not as like you also see the very physical symptoms. Now, when you start coughing, you know I'm getting sick.
Yeah.
If you cut yourself, you know that you need to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, with mental health, you don't see anything. And I think that's also lends to part of the problem.
Right. Correct. Correct. Yeah. All right, so we'll get into some news and the rest of it in just a short while, but that's coming up after 7:30 or so. It's Tuesday morning. We can get your messages and your thoughts, your calls, your voice notes, 079-748-2090. That's the number to get us on.
I didn't think I knew the studio number up until I had to write down my number somewhere. And
and you wrote that number?
They said, what's your number?
What's happened to me?
I said, 079748. And I had to stop myself in the process.
Yeah, it's happened to me a couple of times. And you feel like such an idiot. You're like, no, that's not my number.
Yeah.
Not really. And it was so weird. Popped up.
All right, so some news stories, some other interesting stuff. Tell us what you're up to, and it's the last couple of days of July.
Yes.
Then we're into that last third of the year.
That one that just disappears. Mm. It's like the rice paper around a sweet. It's like, whoop, gone.
Yep, that's a good description. It's exactly what it's like. All right, you know what to do. Get hold of us. Tell us what you're up to.
This is CliffCentral.com.